Go with me, if you would, back to John 21. John 21, our text tonight is verses 15 to 17, but I want to read up to verse 17. I want to read the first part of this chapter that our brother just read for us. Let's read it again. John 21, verse 1 says, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing." I'm going back to fishing. This is after our Lord suffered on the cross. This is after all the disciples forsook him. This is after Peter said what he said about him. This is after the Lord looked at him. This is after they saw him hang there in utter agony. And they couldn't do anything. Their hands were tied behind their backs, and they watched him bow his head and give up the ghost. And then they took him down and wrapped him and put him in a tomb. And Peter said, "I'm going to go back to fishing." Verse 3, "Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee." We'll all go with you. "They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have you any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, the one who is writing this epistle, John, saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon in bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring up the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Now when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. In those last three verses, our Lord gave Peter. He set forth to Peter. Our Lord asked him three times in a row. And that first time, Peter heard the question, and he gave an answer. And that second time, Peter heard the question, and he gave an answer. And then that third time, Peter he pondered that question. And what our Lord did in that was he set forth to Peter in these three verses an if then, a very pondering if then. And the then, the result, was a commission to go preach the gospel. Go out and preach the gospel. He said, then go unto all the world and preach me. Feed my sheep with my message, my word. Preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that's a glorious commission to receive. That's one that's given to every child of God, every single child of God. Every child of God collectively is given this commission. We all collectively support and witness the ministry of the gospel of Christ to sinners who need it, sinners like us. That then, the then that he gave, it's commissioned to all of God's people. And so is the if. And I started dwelling on the if. Our Lord asked Peter this if three times. And you know with each time, because it says it grieved Peter. With each time, he more deeply pondered what the Lord was saying to him. I started dwelling on this if that the Lord posed to Peter. In that one question, he got to the root of the whole matter. I'd like for us to look at that specifically for just a moment, all right? Each one of us can put ourselves in Peter's shoes. Put yourself in Peter's shoes. Put yourself in this scenario right here, in what's going on. We have the whole scene laid out for us. Put yourself in Peter's shoes. This question individually goes out to every single one of God's people. According to verse 2, there were at least six other men here. But the Lord said this to Peter as though he was the only man there. And I pray he might pose this question to each one of us as though we were the only ones here, just the only person here. It's one question. In this one question, our Lord got to the root of it. Here's the heart of the whole thing. He said, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? What a question. He did not say, this is what he did not say. He did not say, Peter, do you obey the law? The Bible. Let's talk about you being mine, Peter. Let's talk about salvation from your sin. Let's talk about you going to heaven. He didn't say, Peter, do you obey the Bible? He didn't say that. This is the holy word of God. These are the holy scriptures of God. It says, do this and live. Don't do this and perish and die in your sins. the word that God Almighty wrote, this perfect, holy, true commandment, he did not say, Peter, do you obey these things? I mean, like, root of the matter, heart of the issue, me and you, one question. He didn't say, Peter, do you obey this? He didn't say, Peter, does the way you live your life glorify me? He didn't say, Peter, in your flesh, are you an example of what a believer ought to be? Are you an example of what a believer ought to look like and ought to act like and ought to sound like and ought to talk like and ought to think like? He didn't say any of those things. He got right to the heart of it when he said, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? He said in verse 15, do you love me more than these? When they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Do you love me more than these? What was he referring to? What was there? Well, Peter's boat was there. Peter was the first one who said, I'm going fishing. Peter's net was there. Everything he used. Peter's brethren were there. Possibly even his own fleshly brother, Andrew. The end of verse 2 just says, two other of his disciples. One could have been Andrew, his own brother. So even though it was just a few little words, this great question was a soul-searching question. This was a root of the matter, heart of the issue question. He said, Peter, do you love me even more than these? Now, put yourself in Peter's shoes and see how soul-searching this question is. Just see, obviously, the first answer is, yea, Lord, thou knowest I do. All right, and then the question comes again. And the question comes again. See how soul-searching this question is. It's a stark question. It's an eye-opening question. It honestly is. This is an eye-opening question. This is a fearful, fearful question. Because he said in Matthew 10, our Lord said, he that loveth father, mother, son, daughter, anyone, anything, more than me, is not worthy of me. Do you know the first thought and the first emotion that comes to me when I hear that? I am not worthy of him. That's the first thing that comes to me. I am not worthy of him. I mean it. Based on what I see in myself, based on how I see myself to be, I don't believe for one minute that I'm worthy of him. We shouldn't take this question flippantly at all. He said, do you love me? Do you love me? We shouldn't just answer that flippantly at all. We should consider that fearfully. Because the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16:22, he said, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be cursed when he returns. Is that not piercing? I mean, is that not absolutely piercing? As we slip Peter's shoes on for just a minute, do we realize the weightiness of what the Lord asked him? The eternal weightiness. This was a hinging question. And the same question that was brought to Peter must be brought to each one of us. And as it's brought to each one of us, and as we ponder this, I believe we can all relate to this right here. You know this so well. I've quoted it to you so many times. But this is what John Newton wrote. He said, "'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no?" Now, the common answer is, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest I do." But once we see him seated on his throne, making every decision that is to be made according to his own will and purpose, knowing that he is doing what he wants to do. You know, sometimes things don't go the way we want them to go, but they're still going the way he wants them to go. Once we see that he sovereignly controlled everything pertaining to us and all men and women, once we see that he chose who he would show mercy to, once a person gets a hold of his sovereign right to choose who he would save, taking no thought and no consideration for what man has done or what man has earned, because man hasn't earned anything. Once we see that Christ shed his blood on a particular people, once we see God as he is, for who he is, not the way we've made him up to be in our minds, do we love him? Do I love the Lord God Jehovah, the God who is God over me, the God who has me in his hand? I don't have him in mind. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his, John Newton said, or am I not? 'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? He said it hinges on this. He went on to say, if I love, why am I thus? Why this dull and lifeless frame? Hardly sure can they be worse who've never heard his name. Could my heart so hard remain? Prayer a task and burden proved. Do you ever struggle to pray? You ever struggle to pray? Do you ever struggle to do it? And then once you start to do it, you can't get through it. And you have to keep starting over. And you say, I'm sorry, Lord. And you start over. And you, I'm sorry, Lord. Do I love the Lord or no? He said, could my heart so hard remain? Prayer a task and burden prove? Every trifle, that's a thing of little value or little importance. Every trifle give me pain if I knew a Savior's love. When I turn my eyes within, all is dark and vain and wild, filled with unbelief and sin. Can I deem myself a child? You know, the more the Lord reveals himself to us, the more we see him, the more we see ourselves. The more he shows himself, the more he shows us. The brighter he gets, the darker we get. Everybody's kind of on the same playing field until God reveals Christ. And when he does, down we go. Down we go. Oh, when I turn my eyes within, all is dark and vain and wild, filled with unbelief and sin. Do I love the Lord? Can I deem myself a child? If I pray or hear or read, sin is mixed with all I do. You who love the Lord indeed, John Newton said, I believe y'all are believers. I'm worried about me. But he said, you who love the Lord indeed, tell me, is it thus with you? Do I love him? Peter, do you love me? Do I love him? Do I love him? You know what Peter's ultimate response to that question was? It was John Newton's response. Same response. It will be the response that every child of God has to this question. This is what Peter said. Lord, thou knowest. You know. Only you know the true answer to that. Lord, only you know what you have done for me. Lord, that all hinges on you. This is the hinging question. Do you love me? That hinging question all hinges on you. Lord, I don't trust myself to answer that question before you. I believe it's time I put my hand over my mouth. I only trust you to answer the question. I only trust you from the start of the work in me all the way to the end of the work in me. Lord, I'm looking to you. That answer is of you. John Newton went on to say, "Yet I mourn my stubborn will, find my sin a grief and thrall." That word thrall means I'm a slave to it. But he said, should I grieve at what I feel if I did not love at all? Could I joy his saints to meet? Choose the ways I once abhorred, which is what? His way and not mine. His work and not mine. His glory and not mine. Could I joy his saints to meet? Choose the ways I once abhorred. Find at times the promise sweet if I did not love the Lord. He said, Lord, you decide this doubtful case. Thou who art the people's son, since upon thy work of grace, because it's all grace, because it's not me and all you, because it's not my work, it's all your gift. Since upon thy work of grace, if indeed it be begun, he said, let me love you more and more. If I love at all, I pray, if I have not loved before, help me to begin today. Do you love me? Lord, only you know. Only you know, because only you can put that love in here. Only you can create true love in the heart for Christ and Christ alone. I mean Christ alone. Only you can make a sinful, dead, wicked heart cry, I love Christ alone. I love hearing Christ alone. And I'm begging, Lord, if I've never truly loved you before, help me to start right now. If I did not love you yesterday, Lord, let me start today. Let me love you. Let me love you more and more. Because I do grieve. I grieve over what I am. I do joy your saints to meet. I do find your promise sweet. So let me love you. Please, Lord, please let me love you. I'll tell you this. If God does create love in the heart of a sinner for Christ, everybody will know it. Everybody will know it. When a man or a woman falls head over heels in love, everybody knows it. It can't be hid. It cannot be hid. Did Peter love the Lord? Did he love the Lord? Look at verse 3 again. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have you any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Can you envision the violence of that scenario? It says they were great fishes. They might have caught some tuna or something. It was going to sink the boat. They were afraid the boat was going down. The amazing thing is that the net didn't break. Just violence. Therefore, verse 7 says, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. Head over heels over head, whatever that would be. Did he love him more than these? Even after the Lord, our brother went on and read the rest of the chapter, after the Lord told him the horrible death he would suffer, all the suffering he would endure. This is what he wrote to God's people. This is what Peter wrote to God's people in his epistle. Turn with me over to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter 1. Verse 1, it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, and Kingsport, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. He said, I'm crying this to every elect child of God that the Father chose before the foundation of the world and plunged in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who I'm speaking to. Verse 3, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now watch verse 8. He said, whom having not seen, you love. In whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Knowing who you are and knowing what you are, and knowing who he is and knowing what he has done to redeem you from all your sin. He said, even though you're enduring seasons of great heaviness, manifold trials, he said, because your hope is in the praise and the honor and the glory that's going to be revealed at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, even though you haven't seen him yet, you love him. You love him. Aren't you so glad the Word of God answered that question for you? Peter said, on the authority of God Almighty, if you're in Christ, you love him. That's a declaration, not a question. That's a declaration. He said, if you are in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is how it is. You love him. If he chose you, if he covered you, if he washed away all the filth from you, you love him. Your heart will skip a beat at the thought of being with him. Every time the Word of God is opened up to you, I mean truly opened up by the Spirit. And as a side note, I would encourage all of us to pray for that. Ask him as we meet like this, Lord, open my heart to these things. Lord, send your Spirit into my heart. Feed me. Speak to me. Every time the Spirit does, every single time, you will say, did not my heart burn within me? Peter said, you take my word for it. I'm speaking on behalf of God Almighty. If the Father is safely keeping you in Christ, even though you haven't seen him yet, you love him. You do. You loved him. And the fact that you love him, that is the evidence that he loves you. The fact that you love him. The Apostle John said, we love him because he first loved us. He said, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Knowing who we are, knowing who he is, knowing it all had to come from him, all of it. If we can honestly say, Lord, thou knowest, you know that I love you, then it means he loves us. If we love him, that's the evidence. He loves us and he gave himself for us. You know, the grace of God to his people, it's so glorious. He honestly did everything. You know that? Everything pertaining to us, he did all of it. Peter, do you love me? Gabe, do you love me? Oh, if I turn my eyes within, it's not looking good. But if I look to you, if I look to Christ, by the grace of God, I do. By the grace of God, I do. I do. To have and to hold from this day forward, we do. He says, all right, now that you know that, go preach it to everybody. Go preach it to everybody. My word will create love for Christ in the heart of every sinner that I have loved and chosen to save. Do I love the Lord? Lord, you decide this doubtful case. Thou who art the people's son, since upon thy work of grace, if indeed it be begun, let me love thee more and more. This is my response. You decide, this is in your hands, but if indeed that work of grace has come to me, let me love thee more and more. If I love it all, I pray. If I have not loved before, help me to begin today. Lord, help me create a love for Christ in me. If you create it, it'll be there. If you put it there, do you love me? Lord, if you put it there, I do. Let me, help me. More love to thee. That's my prayer. All right, let's all stand together.